Baker Street Babes are so excited to welcome GoPop TV as an official sponsor. What's GoPop TV? They're an exciting new company building a new social experience for TV, and they want to help us embrace all things Sherlock. It might seem like a mystery, but they gave us an intriguing sneak peek, and it's totally awesome. This is a great new way not only for us to share our love of Sherlock, but for you to share yours as well. Be sure to go to gopop.tv/Sherlock or click on the banner on our page and take a few moments to fill out the survey and sign up to get early access to the trial. Trust me, you're going to be thankful you did.
The Baker Street Babes are proud to announce that we're nominated for the 6th Annual Shorty Awards. The Shorty Awards recognize the best of the internets and social media. So if you love the Baker Street Babes, vote for us. Go to shortyawards.com/Baker Street Babes. That's shortyawards.com/Baker ST Babes to vote for us. Thanks, guys.
The Scintillation of Sion is an annual symposium of fans for Arthur Conan Doyle and his creations. It is sponsored by Watson's Tin Box and Maryland, USA. You can find out more information about the next event at www.scintillation.org. Wessex Press and their imprint, Gastian Books, are premier publishers of Sherlock Holmes-related material. They are also our publishers. The One Fixed Point in a Changing Age, A New Generation of Sherlock Holmes, is an essay collection by online fans. It is edited by several of the Baker Street Babes, with a foreword by Laurie R. King, the author of the Mary Russell series. The book will be available for purchase exclusively online at www.wessexpress.com, priced at $24.95.
The Baker Street Journal. It continues to be the leading Sherlockian publication since its founding in 1946 by Edgar W. Smith. With both serious scholarship and articles that play the game, the journal is essential reading for anyone interested in Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, and the world where it is always 1895. Not yet a subscriber? Subscribe today to the most respected source of Sherlockian scholarship. More details can be found at www.bakerstreetjournal.com. Also, make sure to follow them on Twitter at BakerSTJournal for fun facts every single day with quotes from the canon and all sorts of things.
Oh, they call us the irregulars, but baby, we're always on time. Baker Street Babes always leave the rest of them behind. Oh, so when Scotland Yard they send you home, you feel like you're losing your mind. If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you two-two-one?
So welcome to the Baker Street Babes podcast. I am here with the team behind a Fingerslip web series, which is a sort of like revolutionary thing in that bringing a Sherlock fan fiction to the computer screen. Today we have Naomi J, Lucy Barrett, Cody Quinn, and Jake Burgess. Hello. Did I say your names right?
Yay.
Yes.
Mine's Burgess.
Affirmative.
Burgess. So close.
Burgess, yep.
So close. And from the BSB, it's just me today, but that's okay because there's four fabulous people here. Do you want to go through and just sort of say what your role is in this whole process?
Okay, well, I'm Naomi, and I'm the director, and I'm writing the screenplays.
Yep, I'm Cody Quinn, and I'm playing Sherlock Holmes.
Lucy. I'm Lucy, and I wrote the fanfic originally.
I'm Jake Burgess, and I'm the cinematographer, the assistant director, and editor.
I guess starting off, why did you want to bring a fan fiction to, like, why do you want to bring it to life, to a web series?
I've been interested in film, like, my entire life, and I've always wanted, like, my ultimate dream is to make film adaptations of books, because we've all had our favorite books totally butchered on screen, and I want to know that I'm doing it right. And I'm a teenager, still, technically, and I really wanted to get started, and then I had the idea, like, what if I did fan fictions, because they've never been done, and they're independent authors. You can't exactly just go get the rights to, like, Harry Potter, you know? So I thought of fan films, and I happened to be in the thick of reading A Fingerslip, and I'd been talking to Lucy for a little while, and so I was like, dude, can I do this thing? And she kind of agreed, and here we are.
Lucy, for those who don't know, would you mind giving a little bit of like a plot synopsis about what A Fingerslip is? Not giving anything away necessarily, but you know.
Okay. John gets a new phone, and he tries to text a friend, but ends up putting in a different phone number, and it turns out to be Sherlock Holmes's phone number. And they get texting, and John doesn't leave him alone, and they build a relationship that way. Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but that's a very basic synopsis.
Yeah, and it's an alternate universe in that they're much younger in the fan fiction.
Yeah, they're teenagers.
I'm just curious, what made you want to write a fic about using that format of just text messages? Because it's very unique.
I've always found that I was never the best at getting through writing full paragraphs. Like, it always took me a really long time. I wanted every sentence to be perfect. And I found dialogue was really... It managed to flow with me, and I could just really picture them saying it in my head. And I was really inspired by the Klain fanfic that I read, called Little Numbers. And I really liked that, and I thought I'd have a stab at it myself. And it went pretty well. Surprisingly.
Yeah, safe to say it's, you know, being turned to a web series, so there you go. I guess, like, the big question, Naomi, is bringing this sort of format to the screen with the text messages, are you at all daunted by that? Like, how is the screenplay gonna sort of work?
When I was first sitting down to write, like, the first episode, I was kind of nervous about it, because I was like, okay, this is a really great fan fiction, and I don't want to mess it up. But it can't be boring, you know what I mean? It can't just be two guys sitting and texting each other the whole time.
Right.
There's a complimentary fanfiction written by Katsudecimal called A Slip of the Finger, and I use that a little bit, but with Lucy's blessing, delve into what she gives you through the texts and create those scenes for you to watch. Like, I don't think this is a spoiler. In the first episode, there's sort of a party scene, and John's texting Sherlock while he's at said party. Well, instead of just seeing the two of them texting, you literally see him at the party and who is there and what they're doing. And it's a scene, like, with dialogue, and there's stuff happening while they're texting. Like, nobody's life stops when they're texting someone, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, you get to see everything that's going on in their lives while they're texting. Does that make sense? Like,
no, absolutely.
They're sort of really fleshed out more so than it is in the fic. You get the ideas in your head when you read Lucy's story, and so I just sort of put that in screen format, and we're going to be able to see it that way.
That's great. Sort of like acting as a skeleton, and now you can sort of like branch off of it and show that all the different little scenes that are alluded to in a way.
Exactly. Like, everybody sort of gets to see it in their head when they read it, so it's not as hard as it seems. Like, yeah, they are only texting, but they tell a story in depth, so it's not as hard as it seems to transfer it.
And, like, how much, I guess this is a question for you, Naomi, and for Jake, like, how much have you actually filmed thus far? Because I know there's, like, the sort of the teaser on your Kickstarter, which we'll talk about later, but have you filmed anything else more than that?
We actually have, we filmed that teaser totally separate. Like, that's not in the show at all. It's its own thing. But we took, like, the first dialogue that you see, the first couple texts for that, because they're recognizable. As far as actual scenes, we've only shot one, and that's because we had everyone who needed to be casted for it. I don't know if we want to say what the scene is, guys. It was super... Well, yeah, I posted the behind-the-scenes for it. It was sort of a fight scene that happens in episode 3. And so, yeah, it's shot really out of order, but that's the only thing we have completed at this point, is one scene.
Cool. Cody, you are taking on the role of Sherlock. Are you daunted at all, excited? Like, especially for, like, a younger version, what are you looking most forward to?
Oh, man. I am definitely daunted. I like that word. And excited. Just by all the fan outreach to and how much Lucy put into the story, it's kind of a lot of pressure. But like, I just want people to like it. And I want to live up to it. And not, I am American, so I don't have an accent. So it's kind of nerve-wracking to have to do that. But I feel confident in it. And I know, just from what I know about how much they love the story and how much Lucy put into it, I know I'm going to do a good job. But I'm excited for it just because of the fact that, I mean, a lot of people really love the fan fiction. And I feel like I'm on the best possible team of people to make it happen.
Lovely.
And what was the rest of the question?
Oh, just like talking about like being a younger Sherlock. Like, what's that sort of gonna, you know, play into?
It's gonna be interesting because it's I guess playing a younger version of him, it's gonna be a little of a different personality. Before he's fully grown up, I guess you get to see a little more youthfulness in him and more of his emotional side. And you get to see kind of him, yeah, showing his emotional side, how he starts to develop feelings for somebody.
I see Vicky has joined us. Hello.
Oh, hey. I can just be quiet.
No, it's absolutely fine. If you want to go ahead and just introduce yourself, we'll just throw you into the deep end.
Oh gosh, deep end. Hi, I'm Vicky. I'm a media and communications studies major. I've actually just come from class, and I'm sort of putting my expertise into helping get this project off the ground.
Fabulous. She is Naomi's lifeboat.
Great.
So I've done Kickstarters before, so this is really fun to actually be doing it for something that I'm incredibly invested in. I enjoy Sherlock a lot. So
yeah, I mean, let's talk about the Kickstarter, because you guys have already got quite a bit of money. I knew immediately when I saw this that you guys were going to, like, succeed way beyond your wildest expectations, but it's nice to see that's actually coming to fruition.
I am completely beside myself. I love the Sherlock fandom so much. It's amazing. The way this project has been received by everyone is completely overwhelming, and I'm so proud to be from the Sherlock fandom, and I wish I could hug every single one of you. You know what I mean? It's amazing. And the Kickstarter is just one example of that.
We have 54 days to go, and we've already raised $8,713. There's 289 people that have contributed. It's incredible. And I mean, I know that there's more people that have been interested. I think there's also a divide as far as international fans go. So we are working on that. We just recently added a pledge, but it just speaks to the fact that it's a project by fans for fans. And I mean, there's a lot of levels as to why this project has been so successful. And it speaks a lot to what people really want to see from the fandom and what people haven't been seen as far as queer representation goes. So I think it's fascinating.
I was just going to say it's really a magical thing sort of to witness, to watch everyone sort of just take the reins as a whole fandom and just do something for ourselves. It's so cool. It's amazing to watch. We're doing something really cool.
No, you really are, and you should be commended for that, because I think now, especially in the days of social media, and that so much can be created now online, just like individually, that fans are taking sort of like the canon into their own hands and creating their own stuff and like actually, you know, expanding it. So you have, you know, like fan vids and everything have always existed, but I think this is definitely a step above that. Like, and I have a question for you. Is like, why do you think it's important for the fandoms to bring like fan fiction to screen?
I think it's just the next step. Like, we have art and fan fiction. We produce our own media. You know what I mean? We don't have, you know, LLCs or production companies. We produce this just on our own. So I see no reason why we couldn't go this next step and start doing this as a regular thing. It would be amazing to watch. Just because this is the first doesn't mean it's the last. And actually, it's not the first, I don't think. I think, like, Star Trek's done a couple fan film type stuff. And But I think
I mean,
it's
Doctor
important
Who
because,
has done a few.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I think it's important because there's so many creative people, and it gives people a really cool outlet, I think, to start practicing different careers in film, too. If stuff like this started happening everywhere, people could get volunteer jobs making fan productions, and then look at how their resume looks in a couple years, they could actually get real paying film jobs, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's part of it, too.
It gives fans another route to explore characters they love and just deepen the story.
I mean, if you want to be really nitpicky about it, if you look at productions like Guy Ritchie, if you look at Elementary CBS, if you look at Sherlock's, the BBC Sherlock, if you look at that, those are all technically, if you want to be really nitpicky, those are all fan productions of Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're, and so that's, what's it, Naomi called it fanficception. That's what, you said fanficception or something like that, where it's, it's a fanfic of a fan, you know, it's just another layer.
BBC Sherlock is a fan film of an original work. BBC Sherlock is a fan film of that, and then A Fingerslip is a fan fiction of that, and then A Fingerslip web series is a fan film of a fanfic of a fan film. Technically.
Oh, that's great.
It's just an endless loop of creation.
But there's also a level that, there's also an importance in, and I think that what people, when people ship, you know, if, I don't know if anyone's listening that doesn't, you know, with a ship, when, you know, you ship the relationship, you know, people ship the relationship between John and Sherlock. That's been going around for 130 years. I mean, that's nothing new.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that there's still a lack of representation of that relationship that we see in the mainstream media. There's all these different productions of Sherlock Holmes that go around. And even in Guy Ritchie, there's camp, but we still see Watson married to Mary Marston, and there's still no culmination. I mean, even with private life, I'm trying to think of, but as far as mainstream media goes, we still have yet to see something. And so it gives fans a chance to explore that relationship in their own way and the way that they interpret what they see on screen and what they read on the page.
Absolutely.
So I think that's incredibly important.
I think there's no arguing that Holmes and Watson's relationship is a love story. Like, Moffat's said that himself, even in this version. Whether he wants it to be a monogamous thing or just their personal love story as friends, whatever we see. But in every incarnation of Sherlock Holmes, their chemistry has been undeniable. And I think it's important for something like this to finally happen, because ever since the original books, people have wanted to see them as a couple. And it's sort of disappointing that we've gone all this time without any version where it's been canon. I mean, you can argue that BBC's is canon in its own way, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Canon in their own way, but...
Exactly, but not in the way that the fan girls want.
I mean, there hasn't been a representation that is, like, purely, like, this is actually a romantic relationship. In that
and what
sense.
I really love about A Fingerslip is that it's not forcing it. It's not like, oh, look, here we are, smoochy, smoochy, finally, let's make them a couple. It's so in character, and it's so gradual, and you get to see two people who are just crazy about each other be together in their own way, and it doesn't feel like we're forcing it or anything. It's just so natural, and it's so refreshing to read, and hopefully it will be just as nice to watch.
I imagine it will be. Now, like, I remember I went on your Tumblr just, like, you know, spying, and I saw that you were still looking for a John Watson. Do you not have him yet?
Oh, God.
Do you want to do a casting call?
People really want Jake to be John. You know you have
I'm
your
down
own
with that.
Now, Jake. Let's just put a quick little casting call in here. If that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
All your listeners are Sherlockians, right? So I don't need to explain who John is or what he looks
do I? I think it's pretty safe to say that they know who he is.
If you want to be John Watson and you're aged, like, 17 to 20, if you could look like about 18 years old and you live near Michigan and would be willing to make the drive, contact me. Our Tumblr is A Fingerslip Official. Our email is afingerslipseries@gmail.com. Message us about auditioning, and I will get back to you, because we've been searching for John for so long, it's probably going to be a special feature on the DVD. Where are you, John?
And I should input here, we do frequently, we have been getting a ton of messages and a ton of emails about people who are fantastic cosplayers, a lot of females that are interested in the role of John. And I do think that we should address that. I am incredibly in awe and have such respect for female cosplayers. They're fantastic and brilliant. But as far as producing a show, I don't know. We discussed this, Naomi, about trying to get, you know, I think our priority would be a male. We are looking for a male to play John. So I feel like that did need to be cleared up.
I'm so like afraid of addressing this topic because I so don't want to like say something the wrong way and offend someone. But when casting a series, it's a lot different than cosplay because you need the voice to be right and you need, you know, and so I can't in good consciousness cast a woman to play John if she's supposed to be a male John. Does that make sense?
No, like, absolutely. Casting is incredibly important. Yeah.
Fantastic female cosplayers. But I can't cast opposite gender for the roles, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, have you been having a lot of trouble with that? Just because I think, like, there's obviously guys in the Sherlock fandom, but...
Not a lot, but...
They exist.
The vast majority of the auditions we've had are people who are interested have been girls. I haven't found many interested male actors, to be honest. And it's kind of a shame. I know there's lots of guys in the Sherlock fandom.
Where are you, John Watson?
Well, he's also an incredibly complex character, because when you read the books and when, you know, you're reading them from John's perspective, and we get a lot of description about Sherlock, we really understand Sherlock from somebody else's perspective, but the character of John is a bit of an enigma. He's kind of a... Mm-hmm.
The game is on. So where's our John? All right, I said.
How are you going to replicate London in Michigan?
That's... gonna be hard. We're gonna shoot a lot in our downtown area. We can pass off areas of it for London, so it looks pretty close. We haven't quite figured out the whole cars on the opposite side of the road. I perceive on the
also
other side.
The fact that the cars all look so different, like different models and stuff, but
it's
a lot of
suspense of disbelief.
It's a lot of interior stuff. I have some people on YouTube who are sending us like B-roll already that they got of actual London, so like it's being cheated, to be honest. We're cheating.
You're utilizing your resources.
Movie magic.
Well, if our Kickstarter goes well, we can actually shoot some of it in London, so
that's our goal.
A little bit of incentive for putting into the Kickstarter.
Important thing to note is that our goal is 10,000, but we can take whatever donations we get in our 60 days. We set it at 10,000 because I believed the Sherlock fandom could reach that much at least. You know, I was like, that's probably safe. We could probably make our goal, I really hope. But at this rate, I'm so amazed at how fast our goal is going up. We don't want donations to just stop when we reach our goal. If you guys want to keep giving us money, the more we get, the better quality this will be.
No, absolutely.
I'm not like, just send us the money. I'm like, legit, we could get better equipment and all kinds of stuff. You know, we're just trying to budget what we do get. Because also, Kickstarter and Amazon combined will keep about 10% of whatever we make. And then a percentage will go back to the donors in prizes. So.
Right.
Yeah, so there's like a... But and we've been working with some really fantastic artists with the project. Voodooling, the British Teapot, Another Well-Kept Secret. They have all done art for us. They're all incredible, and they've done art for our prizes and whatnot. We're going to be releasing those over the... So it's really been fans from across multiple mediums that have been coming together to help this project happen. And we are going to be opening up after Kickstarter is over, we are going to be opening up a Redbubble to sort of, so it's going to be an ongoing thing. And I don't think, and it's about fans contributing to make something that they do want to see happen. There has been, we get messages every day saying we're so excited. You know, everyone, we get all these messages about people that are so happy that this is, that this is going to be a reality.
No, it's definitely something to be commended. Like, I just remember when, I think it was, like, tweeted to us by someone, and I was just like, oh my god, this is, like, really neat. no, it's just so
And you don't, funny. You don't even have to, like, ship John Locke. Like, that, and that, cause we had, we've been getting messages like that too. People will send us these things that say, well, I don't even ship John Locke, but I read a finger slip, and it's fantastic. You know, it's a fantastic piece of writing, so. Good job, Lucy.
There are people in the who are not in the Sherlock fandom, people who have never seen Sherlock who love a finger slip. They've read it. They've literally read. Yeah, they've read it because of all the buzz they've seen. It's been everywhere. It's been in other people's tags, Lucy, and people have read it who have not seen BBC Sherlock, and they adore it.
Really?
Really?
I haven't heard of that.
There's people who, like, watch the teaser, and then they go read the entire fan fiction overnight. They stay up all night reading it, and then they come back and tell us how fantastic it was.
It's binge
reading. Many people have yelled at me, like, I have exams tomorrow! Like, I just read this whole thing in 10 hours! It's that good. You can't put it down, or, I mean, put the laptop away, technically. But
I mean, how do you feel, Lucy, about the fact that your fic has inspired all of this?
It's really surreal. I really don't know how to describe it. I never expected any of it to happen. I just kind of fell into all of this really accidentally. I had no idea this was going to happen. I'm just so glad that it has. I've met some incredible people through it. And I just can't wait for all of this to blossom.
Like, once you finally find, you know, your John Watson, what's your schedule like? When are you hoping to actually get this out?
The series itself?
Mm-hmm.
Our tentative air date is October 19th, for obvious reasons. That's the date in the fic when the first text is sent. And so I thought it would be a cool day to aim for, and it would give us time to hopefully finish the whole first season. And then we could start airing season one while we're working on or finishing up season two.
Fabulous. Like, how many series are you planning?
Two.
Just the two.
Okay. The fanfic is, I basically split it down the middle into two seasons just to give people, I mean, I feel like it's, if I made it one long season, I don't know. I feel like it will be told better with a break in the middle. Not like a 3-year hiatus or anything. But a little break, a tiny season break.
3 months, there you go.
There, yeah, we'll cut that down to reasonable. We don't want more tuna lock.
What's wrong with tuna lock?
just two fishes texting each other about sandwich fillings.
I'm pretty sure people would be down with that. I'm
the only one. And I should probably say I have nothing against tuna lock.
Ballet lock.
They know about ballet lock.
Ballet lock's freaking canon now.
It's canon. It's canon. Oh, man.
Well, Christina, did you see the questions that came in on Twitter? I was just looking at them now.
Like, one of them we talked about earlier, and then I have two others in here. I guess we can ask, are you going to... It's by Flora Ray Bound asks, are you going to include the epilogue?
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a loaded question.
Well, no. It's not a loaded question. The thing is, with each chapter, I mean, I have to think about, especially towards the end where it sort of gets more time-lapse-y,
mm-hmm.
I have to really think about that. I haven't written to that point yet in the scripts. So I don't really have an answer yet. I'm not saying I'm not including the epilogue. It will definitely feel whole at the end, and I'm not just going to leave it with the way the second-to-last chapter ends, trying to stay spoiler-free here. I want to include the epilogue. The issue is they're so much older that I don't know how we would go about that yet. So I'm working on it.
Right. Like, so are you, you're trying to stick to the text as much as humanly possible?
As much as humanly possible. Definitely. I don't want to deviate from the story Lucy has made. I personally adore the epilogue and it makes perfect sense to me. And I want to put it on screen. Actually, the epilogue will probably most definitely be included. The only part that might not is the little one-shot, the additional one-shot that Lucy added, which is much later in their life.
They're, like, in their 30s then.
Yeah. So unless Ben and Mark find out about this and are like, hey, can we be in the epilogue? Could you imagine?
How incredible would that be?
I mean, I guess that begs the question of, are you going to bring this up with the BBC team? Are you just going to just put it out there and if they see it, great. If they don't, you don't really care. Are you worried about that at all?
I should say this now, that this is not meant to be a BBC spinoff in, at all. I'm not trying to. Like, the way Lucy wrote it, I think, is to leave it so that in your imagination you could let it bleed straight into BBC, like the Study in Pink, mm-hmm. if you wanted to, and just imagine that they're a couple in it instead, and that they've already known each other. But A Fingerslip, in my opinion, is its own story. It's detached from the BBC. I don't want them to think that we are trying to attach, like, a little, you know, like, we're trying to suck away their thunder or anything, you know what I mean? I feel like it's its own thing, and if they see it and they like it, great. I want them to know about it as its own thing, but I'd like to keep some sort of separation, you know?
Of course.
It's important for to keep them separated to a point, I think.
And this one person, let's see, Watt's daughter asked about the copyright issue. Mm-hmm. The Sherlock Holmes is now in the public domain. The a judge recently ruled that it's Sherlock Holmes is basically a free-for-all. And
which is
Lucy's
awesome.
Version...
They have put so, an that's appeal great. In, so, just so you know.
But with Lucy, if you read the fanfiction, if you read A Fingerslip, there's a lot... It's not... you can say it's basically base. It's basically a modern version of Sherlock Holmes in which Sherlock and John meet through text message. And there are similarities, but the characters are very much their own characters, in my opinion, in Lucy's
oh, yes.
version. It's they're very different. There's...
Yeah.
I mean, we sort of discussed about the issue with Nate, with having a character named Molly, but,
here's where I stand with that, too. I was gonna say, there's Sally Donovan is in it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, there's some characters that are BBC canon only. And, like, I don't, like, in the books, it was Gregson and Lestrade, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
and
there are two
Bradstreet
separate.
And
I feel like Greg Lestrade is a BBC canon character. However, I feel like if we just keep it Greg and just Molly and just Sally, those are just really generic names, you know what I mean? And with Lestrade, however, we're probably going to have to face the issue of his last name. But Lestrade is public domain.
Yes.
Everything
in, yeah. Well, and canonically, it's his name is G. Lestrade, so they've just given him the name.
G. Lestrade, exactly.
Yeah. Like, so. With the copyright issue with BBC Sherlock, it copyright only pertains to them with their original characters. But I think, like, the fact that you are not doing this for profit sort of absolves you of...
I feel like I would like to say that if they ever found it, they would be more flattered than upset.
Yeah.
Because we're not doing this to say, oh, this is a really good show. Let's make something like it and suck all the money out of it.
We're fans. You're a fan.
Yeah,
and
it's like fan art, or it is a fan fiction in which we're trying to express our mutual passion for their characters and their story and what they've done for us in the best way an artist knows how, which is to express it in their medium back at them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, fan films have happened before, so.
And something like this that would make so many people so happy, I don't feel like they would want to, you know, make a fit about it.
I think that you will be perfectly fine, copyright-wise.
That's good to hear.
I think it's just, obviously, there's just, like, no stealing of, like, their plot lines and stuff, but since this is a fan fiction, it's an AU, which, you'll be fine.
That's my favorite part. That's my favorite part, is that this plot is so detached from anything. Like, there's, you see Sherlock on one or two, like, cases, but it's not about him as a detective. It's about how he and John change each other and grow as friends. And
so, to answer that question, very, you know, roundabout way.
we digress. Cody, do you know what the proper response to pancakes is?
Grapes. Yes. It's actually.
Yay! We did a reference thing.
You chose a fanfiction that portrays a homosexual couple. Why is that particularly poignant or important, and why did you want to bring that specific story to the screen?
Personally, for me, I have been an ally for so long. Like, for LGBT, just, I got my family in on it. You know, I wanted to be involved more in, you know, in my country, like, gay rights, marriage equality isn't a thing everywhere. Like, a couple states, that's it. And it's really upsetting to me. It's so dated, and I feel like this is a great way. I've always wanted some bigger way to represent it and show that, you know, gays aren't evil and that kind of thing, to really close-minded people. And something like this, if it gets big enough, could change things. People could see. I mean, my dad was a homophobe before he watched BBC Sherlock, and now he ships John Locke. Like, it's powerful stuff when you see two people that are right for each other and you can't argue with it. So something like this, I hope, would change some people's minds, you know what I mean? And reading it, personally, I loved it. And I knew that if it were ever a bigger deal, it could possibly have the power to change some things for people.
Another thing that I really hope changes some people's minds on a topic is the fact that some people think you don't know someone unless you've met them. And I know a lot of people who don't understand that kind of relationship you can have with someone simply through texts. And I know, especially my brother, who would always say to me, or I'd mention a friend, and say, have you met this person? And I'd say, no. And they'd be like, well, then you don't really know them. And it's that kind of thing that a lot of people aren't familiar with. And that's just another thing that I hope the series can speak to people about.
I think our generation is really shrinking the world, in that we all have so many friends that we meet through social media networks and through fandoms primarily too. I mean, and it's a really cool thing to know so many people from all around the world. And personally, I have several friends that I've never met in person. And I'm with you on that I really hope this changes some people's minds on the topic, because I mean, you can love people that you've never met in person.
Very well said. No, like, the majority of us of the BSD have never met in person.
So yeah.
I completely feel you.
I was just going to say, I went to London back in November. I think I even tweeted you, because we were going to see about meeting up at Speedy's, but I met...
That's you?
That was me. That's me, yes. And I have your Christmas card up on my little wall of Christmas right now.
This is so fucking funny. Oh my god, okay.
It's magic. It's coinkadink. But I went to London, right? I met a bunch of people that I knew from online. I met my friend Bronte, and I met her through Tumblr. I met friend Diana, met her through Tumblr. So that was fantastic. I met other people too, but, you know, I met these people, and I go and I meet them, and it felt like I'd known them forever, because I was able to just start talking to them, and we had already done the whole, you know, the whole interaction thing online. It didn't feel awkward. It just felt like I'd known these people for years, almost.
I'm gonna cry. You know what I
mean? And then leaving them, it was just really emotional, but now I get to talk to them every day. So, I mean, the thing, and there's a lot of, like, sort of controversy in the fandom right now, because a lot of times a lot of fan fiction writers get a lot of hate in the media and newspapers from journalists and stuff about gay fan fiction, and there's this sort of stigma surrounding it that it's all just about sex when it really isn't. And what Lucy's done with A Finger Slip is create this, this fan fiction, to create this, you know, I'm going to say work of art that it's incredibly, I'm going to say it's poignant because it's not about sex. And I think that it's about two people's, you know, attraction to one another. But when you look at it's, I mean, then again, I'm not trying to hate on other forms of fan fiction, because there are some terrific fan fictions out there that, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. But I think it's also incredible because there's a lot of people don't see that there's another level to it. It's not just about it's not just about us wanting to see our two favorite characters getting jiggy with it in the sack. It's not just about that. It's about the relationship that we see you know, and it's our interpretation of it.
When people think fan fiction, they automatically think gay smut. And I love this story in particular because it's going to prove how many, like, brilliant, unrecognized authors there are writing fan fictions, and that it's more to us than just that. Like you said, it's so great, and Lucy's done it so well, and it's so story-driven that I really hope it sort of paves the way in changing the way people look at it to a point.
There's nothing wrong with it, with Slash. I'm just going to say
not at all. But it's nice to also have plot-driven ones. And,
of course.
And heartwarming stories that are about the characters, too, you know?
We got a few messages about us possibly bringing, I'm actually going to leave out the names, but there's some really big name fan fictions out there, and you can probably guess which ones I'm talking about. And people were asking if we would ever bring those to life, and I'm like, well, while those are incredible and very plot driven, there's also intense sequences of NC-17 behavior on camera.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Personally, for me, I'm just interested in the story. I'm not trying to really prove anything or any stigma. I'm just in it for the ride.
To me, it's a fantastic story with fantastic characters, and it really shouldn't make a difference if they're gay, because it's just a good story. And
yeah, exactly. It's not about being gay or straight. It's about being in love.
And it really shouldn't matter. Exactly. Yeah. My boys.
I guess going off something that you had mentioned a little bit earlier, like, after you finished A Finger Slip, do you have plans to adapt any other stories?
Vicky. Okay, we've been talking about this. This is so incredible that people are already asking us and recommending fan fictions for us to do next. But you guys, I would just like to survive this one first. The reception of this one has been so amazing. And short answer is yes. I would love to do this for the rest of my life, especially if I could start getting paid for it. Like, it's the dream job, to be honest, especially working with all of you wonderful people and the fandom. Short answer, yes, but we need to focus on this one first. Like, we need to get through this first, because my head's gonna explode.
Yeah, we got, like, I'm on the Tumblr and Twitter, like, if people, then again, Naomi and Lucy on it, but, like, a lot of the time, if I'm tweeting on the Tumblr or Twitter, so I'll send a lot of messages out, and people were messaging in saying, we want you to adapt this and this and this and this. And some of it was, what was the one that you knew it from? It was the
Supernatural?
Yeah.
The Supernatural fandom one?
Yeah, what's it called? The
Twist and Shout.
That's it. Yeah. People want Twist and Shout. I got that.
Then there's a bunch of people who don't, too. We've gotten messages from people like, don't do Twist and Shout, please! Because it's They're Alone on the Water, guys.
I would love to do Alone on the Water next. I would direct Alone on the Water.
I would be like, cut, I can't do this.
If Mad Lori's listening, do Alone on the Water.
Oh my god, I can't.
You know, I needed to input this really quickly. The people were saying that this is new, but 50 Shades of Grey was originally a Twilight fanfiction.
It was
Master of the Universe. It was made into a book. It is now being made into a major Hollywood motion picture.
I think this is an example of fan films gone wrong.
How are they going to portray? How are they going to show it on screen?
How are they going to release that in theaters? Like, it's
I don't
I don't understand. That's like a late night HBO type of movie.
Sadly, like, it's going to sell out too.
I know. It's going to be so popular.
See it.
Well, did you guys want to say like where people can find you online, links to the Kickstarter, all that kind of shiz?
I've got this memorized. Okay. Twitter is AFS Web Series, at AFS Web Series. Tumblr is afingerslipofficial.tumblr.com. The YouTube is a fingerslip, and the Kickstarter is actually a long link. Unfortunately, you can't customize a URL for the Kickstarter, but there is a link to the Kickstarter on our Tumblr, on our Twitter, and on our YouTube. But if you go to the Kickstarter, and our Facebook is also a fingerslip official. And if you go to any of those websites, you'll find a link to the Kickstarter. But if you go to the Kickstarter website and you type in a fingerslip web series, you will find us. We are the first one up there.
Yeah, so everyone definitely go check it out. Go donate to the Kickstarter. There's lots of goodies. And hopefully you guys make tons and tons of money so you can make this series epically fabulous.
If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you too?